Carlton Zero, the beer full of flavour, but with zero alcohol.
Hello there, Mad Dogs. Welcome to the catch-up. Make sure you subscribe to it, and thank you for streaming. Big show today. The man, Anthony Mundine, joined us in the studio.
Wasn't he impressive? And I think that we all started to love Anthony Mundine a little bit more today.
Yeah, until Jeff Horn comes in, and then we'll love him back.
I reckon I could have taken him out.
Oh, you do not.
I was thinking that too. It's like, if I started, like, bouncing around, would I get one in?
That's true.
He's
still got like 6-7 kilos to lose too.
Yeah, dude, I touched him around the back. He was carrying a couple.
You're a go here.
Yeah.
I put a tenner on the back.
You're all a go when he's not actually in the room, all right?
He has left.
He has left the building. The other great sportsman we spoke to was our very own Ian Healy, chatting about the cricket.
And yesterday I went out and did a smoko shout and turned up at a place, and it is one of the most top secret joints in Australia. Incredible. It's here in Brisbane, a secret location.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
November 30, Suncorp Stadium. Against Jeff Horn, Anthony Mundine calls time on his illustrious boxing career, and he joins us in the studio, Marto.
Now, you're a noted fighting promoter and you're always talking things up. Jeff Horn, too boring for you?
Nah, he's all right, man. I mean, he's a quiet cat, but you know, each to their own, I suppose.
Now, Anthony, you are obviously mellowing with age. This sounds like a different kind of Anthony Mundine. How do you work yourself up towards a fight? I mean, you're going to go in there and try and hit the bloke. How do you get a little bit of that emotion going, a bit of hatred for him?
As it gets closer, as the fight draws near, last 48 hours, it starts getting amped up and I see a different Anthony Mundine.
Hold on. How heavy are you at the moment? 77, 8?
No, 77, 78.
What do you got to fight at?
71.
Oh.
So he's got plenty to lose, Robin.
How are you going
to
do that?
We've got to diet, eat right, eat healthy and, you know, drink clean, drink water and work our butts off, basically.
Like all of us battling our weight, Anthony, I have my secret eating. What is it that gets you off track? What is your secret eating? What's your weakness?
Weakness is fizzy drinks and chocolate, man.
Yeah.
Oh.
Right, okay.
That's why my nickname's Choc, because it's after chocolate.
What kind of chocolate do you eat?
Obviously.
I like Kit Kats, the caramels.
Nice. Cherry Ripe. Yes. Do you do Cherry Ripe?
Mars bars.
Snickers.
I don't think I've ever loved you so much, Anthony.
Snickers guy. Okay.
I like the block. I like the Cadbury block chocolates. Nice.
Fruit and nut or just plain?
plain. I love the caramel ones.
Oh, wow.
This is bizarre.
Love caramello too.
Caramello's are special.
Anthony, the guy that's standing in front of us right now that you're chatting to is quite mellow, quite, you know, kind of reserved.
Yeah.
And yet, at your press conference, you were saying this.
If Jeff Horn did what I'd done in my career, I'll tell you what, there'd be a statue at the front next to Wally Lewis there, you know what I mean? And probably a statue all around the country, monuments around the country of Jeff Horn.
It's like you're two different people.
I'll just say how it is, man. I'll just tell the truth, you know what I mean? Like,
do you believe that?
100%.
So why don't you think there's a statue of you? You've had 48 fights, you've had 46 wins, 28 knockouts. You're probably one of Australia's best known boxers. Why isn't there a statue of you?
Not only that, I played State of Origin. I had about 150 NRL games or ARL at the time. Was the highest paid player when I left the game. Should have played for my country. You told me.
Why did you leave the game? I can't even remember now.
Because
you're at your peak.
Yeah, I was at my peak, but because I was, you know, I felt I was getting wrongly done by the system. And I just think what I was playing at the time, like, no one was next to me.
What do you make of the game now?
I don't know, man. It's hard for me to watch. But I try to watch.
Why?
I just try to watch a bit because I got some family and good close friends playing. So
why is it hard to watch, though?
No, just not like it used to be. It's not as entertaining for me as it used to be.
Who's the family you got playing?
Remus Smith.
Oh, yeah.
From Bulldogs. Yeah. He's my nephew.
Ah, good one.
Yeah, he's my nephew.
Anyone playing for the Rabbitohs from your fam?
James Roberts from up here. He's my cousin.
Hold on. Jimmy the Jet. He's your cousin.
Yeah, he's my mob.
Oh, geez, righto.
Yeah.
Right.
The big question, I guess, too, everyone is asking is, why are you going to fight Jeff Horn? Like, why do you want to?
One, it's the biggest fight the Australia can make. This is going to be my, you know, legacy. You know, I want to...
This is the end?
I want to... Pretty much, yeah. I mean, I've got no more desire. It's hard to get... I mean, the monotony of training and hard work, dedication, discipline you have to be to become a Spartan, a warrior. You know what I mean? Like, it's sort of running out, you know?
Anthony, what if you win? What if you beat Jeff?
I will beat him.
And then what? You're going to walk away?
Well, I'm happy, you know. I done with the old generation now. I'm done with the new generation now. I'm going to kick back and enjoy life.
Would you take up any coaching roles in the NRL?
Yeah, I would like to delve back into the rugby league scene.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I've got a lot of knowledge and know-how on the game, and I'm still going. Yeah, I'm not done yet.
Absolutely.
November 30th on, baby.
Absolutely. Suncorp Stadium. You can get your tickets, tickettech.com.au, and, of course, you can watch the fight live on Foxtel's main event. Anthony Mundine, you're here, so we're going to go for you. Chock, best of luck in your last fight.
Good luck, Chock. Thanks, man. God bless you.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Said we needed a miracle over in Dubai. 5 days of living hell, and the Australians pulled through for, what was it, the longest draw, longest fourth innings ever in Asia or something. To tell us all about it, Ian Healy, Fox Sports commentator. How are you, mate?
Good, thanks, Marto. We never gave up on them, did we?
God, we did.
I think you did. Bailed the other day, Heels.
Robin would have.
Yeah, I did. Oh, mate, I was
Robin,
out.
If you were up at midnight last night, I reckon even you might have enjoyed it.
Well, my partner, Sean, kept sneaking off downstairs. I'm like, what are you doing, buddy? He's going, I'm just checking the cricket.
Yeah, the Bachelorette was
he's
on.
He's got to get a TV upstairs.
Hey, Heels, how good was it? Were they rubbish or was Usman Khawaja and Tim Payne that good?
No, but I think Usman Khawaja and Tim Payne were excellent, like fantastic. They put all their natural instincts away to just block and block and block and play an occasional shot. And you have to have a bit of luck there. Things squirting between fielders and Tim Payne, and I reckon with six overs to go, could have got out three times. One ball bounced over the stumps and two just missed leg stump. It was pretty good stuff. So you had to have a bit of luck. They had it. I think it showed how bad we were in the first inning.
Is this a classic captain's dig from Tim Payne? Is that what we're calling it?
Yeah, I reckon. You can definitely call it that. And he showed no emotion at the end. He wasn't over-celebrating a draw. He basically had the mannerisms of someone who thought, how bad were we in the first innings? That should have been done both times we batted. For the sake of another 100 runs, we could have won that test.
So Hills, what happened then between the innings? Would they have got an absolute blasting? Would they have just sat there and thought about it? Like, what would have gone down that changed it so dramatically?
Yeah, probably wouldn't have been a blasting, but Langer, it won't be far away. If they keep doing that, Langer would certainly blast them. But no, they would have gone back to the nets and practiced hard and come up with another plan for day five, and it worked. It was quite gutsy of Travis Head in the lead-up to that day, to sort of say the belief in the room is that we can bat all day.
That's incredible.
And I thought to myself, oh, this is Travis, just zip it for a while. But he was excellent too. He batted really well. So, yep, they've got something started, I reckon.
How did Queensland boy Manus Labuschagne go?
Well, I think he made 13. I only saw the last bit last night, but so he probably occupied the crease for a fair while, he'll be in the thick of it.
So a draw over there is virtually a win, isn't it?
Oh, sort of. Sort of.
What do you mean by that? What do you mean a draw over there is virtually a win?
This is classic test cricket we're talking here. 5 days, played every minute, okay, and it's a draw. This is why you play test cricket, isn't it? Here?
5 days for no result.
Not really. You do play for... But, we do have a third outcome in our game, that's right, and someone could get more confidence out of a draw than the other team, and that'll be us. We didn't lose, Rob. That's what we're saying. It's not a win, but it's a real good. It was a real good second. I reckon. We should get confidence out of it, and next test is only 4 days away, so you'll be up all night again, Rob.
Hold on. Do they play in Dubai again on the same pitch?
No, it's in Abu Dhabi.
Oh, so up the road to another desert.
Yeah, exactly. It won't be any different, but we'll have some confidence that, you know, this thing can be done.
Yeah, all good.
So how many tests in the series, Heels?
Just two, Lawrence.
Just two.
Yeah, that's all. And then I think we've got some three T20s over there, and then they get home to the green grass.
Yep, good. The main thing is we didn't lose, and all is right with the world. Yeah. Ian Healy.
Big crowd there last night, too.
There's
a big crowd. Most of the players' families were there.
Yeah.
Cool. I saw two camels outside.
When it comes to playing
car park,
playing either Lords or Abu Dhabi, give me Abu Dhabi every time.
Yes, exactly.
We'll catch you work on Fox Cricket. Thanks, Heels.
Okay, bye.
Smoko Shout.
you guys know, I better tell everyone else, we go out and on a Wednesday or Thursday and hand out smoko at around between 10 and 11 o'clock in the morning, and everyone just loves it. The back of the...
And you love it too, because you go out to work sites and you go and talk to blokes who are actually doing their stuff and you make them feel better.
And the girls there yesterday, I went to, well, I said Eagle Farm. So Atom ring me, Moon, A-T-O-M. And this mob, and I went, wow, enormous enormous shed, warehouse thing. I head round to the back, everyone's out there, righto. So we head out there, pull all the Eskies out, and they just came out of this building, about 30 or 40 of them. It was incredible. And they sell, so have a look for them, they sell all the safety gear, all tools, what do you call them, welding consumables, anything to do with industry and trades, they sell. All right, all your high vis, like they sell, they've invented a vending machine, all right, that they can put on these high-rise sites. So if you need a new hard hat or a new high-vis shirt, you put your money in and it comes out of a vending machine.
Oh, my God.
What about that? A massive vending machine.
Yeah. I know, really big. I didn't see it there. They said, oh, they're on site. So they do everything, all right? So Adam,
my cookie gets stuck against the glass, let alone a hard hat.
That's so true with your chip. Hey, so I started talking to them. So it's not all that interesting. It's just they're in an amazing business. Aussie company. But one guy, I said, has anyone got an amazing story? And they pointed to one guy, he plays netball. And, you know, I think they wanted to make fun of him. But the Maddie's name was, and I went, no, that's incredible. I've played netball. It's a wild
sport.
It's a
hard game.
And I said, are you playing mixed? And he said, no, I play for the Queensland men's team.
Wow, look at you go, Maddie.
And I wondered, how good are they? And you know what I say, if they can play AFL women's and rugby women's and everything women's, why isn't netball in the Commonwealth Games? And apparently they've applied. Men's netball has applied to be in the next Commonwealth Games. And I said,
they wear skirts as well?
No, they don't wear skirts. See, and no, they don't wear netball undies. I don't know if that's the name for them. But, so I asked Matt, have you ever played the Firebirds?
They've done it before in training games.
And?
Within a couple of goals, either way.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Have you got a really tall goal shooter, taller than Romelda?
Yeah, he's 7 foot something.
You've got 7 foot goal? Yeah. So he can just do that? Oh, that's fabulous. He doesn't even have to hire. He just jams it into the
net.
That
would be so impressive.
I know. Why aren't there any? There's no 7 foot women out there. I always say that.
No, that's probably a good thing.
All right. So I went from there. That wasn't the exciting bit. After this, it gets exciting. Okay. I'm at Eagle Farm, and I can't talk too much. We pull up at this place deep in Eagle Farm. I can't give you where we were. Mm-hmm. I can't even give you the name of the operation. But they probably
shouldn't have undercover.
Listen to this. They shouldn't have rung us. We shouldn't have been there. We sat outside this fence. You know, Stark Industries, Tony Stark off Iron Man?
Yeah.
It was like approaching his house. The security around this place, all razor wide, and the gate was so enormous. They were scanning us. We rang the girl and said, oh, yeah, it'll just be a minute. I reckon they were IDing us, all the car, us, there was something. It was a...
Why?
Well, you wouldn't want to know. Well, finally, when we got inside and we got the Eskies out, everyone came out, okay? Listen to this. This is happening in Brisbane, all right? This is happening in Brisbane. I asked the obvious question and I didn't expect an answer.
What can you tell us?
Okay. Is Australia's largest supplier of firearms, ammunition, and accessories to the law enforcement, military, and commercial markets.
Oh,
so you make bullets and bombs?
No, we don't make them, but we distribute them.
Oh,
so,
your arms dealers. This is unreal.
Have you got any? Like, we've given you some stuff. Have you got any stuff for us?
Yeah. Probably.
Any bomb stubby holders or anything?
Yeah, probably not, guys. Oh,
it's amazing.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? They sit in an office.
I can't talk about it.
Well, you must know. Did they sit in an office and send...
It was one of those places. There was no malingering. They just came out of this huge steel doors, grabbed their twisties and chips and ham and cheese rolls and went back inside. Told us a little bit about the bombs and stuff and they just went inside.
No one said bombs.
No.
Firearms and bullet distributors.
Did you slip your CV under the fence?
That means bombs, doesn't it?
No. Right. No one's been blown up.
All right, well, I've been there. You haven't. Okay, that's all I'm saying.
So you know where it is.
I know where it is. And they know who I am. If I'm not here Monday.
We know why.
It's the big breakfast call the Triple M.
We can't call the cops.
Guys, I had one of the most glorious mother-son moments that I've had in quite a long time, and it was completely unexpected, which is why I think it was so good.
Hmm?
Let me tell you about my 18-year-old son. Oh. His name is Finn.
I know.
Because normally that's what he sounds like. Yeah. And I think probably in the last 6 months I've noticed a massive change, and you guys would have seen this with your 18-year-olds. It started when he got his license in the middle of last year when he was in year 12, and that started to give him some freedom. But certainly when he finished school and he turned 18 and he could go out.
Freedom.
And look, he's got a girlfriend, he's got a job, he's going to uni. He is having an absolutely cracking time.
He did a great time. Remember when you were that age?
Absolutely. And I'm so supportive of the fact that he is growing up and growing away. And I mean, my rule is with him is that I just need to know where you are. So even if you're not going to be home for dinner, just tell me. And so he'll often text during the day saying, oh, Mum, I'll see you tomorrow. And that's fine. I don't need to know what he's doing. But he was home last night. And, you know, there's a lot going on in our world at the moment because we're trying to organise a wedding. Mm. We've got this massive trip that we're doing with all our kids. So most of my time when I'm at home is working with Sean on the computer just to nail through details. And he rings me and he goes, Mum, I've got a problem. I'm like, okay, buddy, what's going on? And he said, Georgia, who's his gorgeous girlfriend, is turning 18 in 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And he clearly wants to do the right thing. He is his mother's son and presents are a big deal and actually making someone feel special is super important. So he said, can you come to Indro with me and can you help me pick out some presents? I've done research. I was like, okay, mate, no worries. Sean took care of dinner for the other kids.
Jewelry or
lingerie. This is the thing. No. I'm not helping him with that. No. Actually, I didn't even think about that. Honey Burdette,
can you help me buy Georgia a G-banger?
That's a special moment. Do you want me to try it on?
I don't know who'd be more embarrassed in that conversation.
See what you think about it on me and...
Actually, funny you should say that. And we didn't go to Honey Burdette's and I didn't even think about it. But he had this list of stuff.
What's Honey Burdette? Sounds like a strip club.
Haven't you been? Oh, man, great lingerie. Mm. Anyway, moving on.
Oh, yeah. Because if me and Marto went into Honey Burdette's, they wouldn't be pushing the security button.
Just browsing.
Well, mate.
Anyway, I did try clothes on for him on behalf of his girlfriend because there was a couple.
You did?
Yeah, I did because we're similar sizes.
Oh, good Lord.
That was so embarrassing. I'm not sure.
I don't know about that in the rules of in the eyes of the Lord.
Eyes of the Lord
okay,
or Lord?
Excuse me, I'm talking t-shirts. Like I'm talking like just to check the sizing.
That's wrong too.
Why?
Because all the curves have got to be in the right place and you don't want to imagine your mum in the t-shirt.
Girlfriend. Just stop, right? Yeah. I didn't come out and show him. I just put it on in the change room and went, this one fits.
Oh,
and
what about these?
What about this?
Denim shorty shorts.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
We are, we're a time poor society. We work as much as we can to enjoy the things that we want. And so we are outsourcing work. And I have got a cleaner. That's my way of saying, all right, I've got a cleaner.
Mm-hmm.
Let's call her Lizzie.
It's like an AA meeting. Hi, my name's Lawrence. I have a cleaner.
I've got a cleaner, yeah. Because, well, I've always felt a little bit, you know, slave and master about the whole thing. I feel awkward about, you know, having a cleaner and having someone clean up after me.
We had a cleaner for a while. I don't like going home while the cleaner's there.
Oh, really? Mm. I've got a cleaner called Colleen who I've had for probably 20 years and I would go – seriously, not that I've had to, but I would go without eating rather than give up on Colleen because she just changes my world every Thursday.
I'm with you, Marta. I've got to get out of the house. I'm going to call our cleaner Lizzie because I know she listens to the show and I want to – I want to pretend I'm not talking about her. No. Anyway, so
she knows she's your cleaner.
Yeah, but no one else does, that's the important thing.
Lizzie's very up and about, let me say that, when she comes to clean.
What does that mean?
Well, she uses it as a workout.
Ah.
So she's very motivated when she gets to...
What are you getting at?
Anyway,
that's good. She's very vigorous with her window washing. Is that what you're meaning? Like wax on, wax off?
When you watch her vacuum, it's like, wow. You are.
She got a backpack or is it cable?
Backpack, total backpack.
Oh, that's,
they're proper cleaners.
Anyway, so
backpack back in.
She used to work in a bookshop. And so if I'm throwing any books out, I would say to her, do you want any of these before I, you know, send them to the salvos? So I said to her, I'll leave them in a pile next to the front door because we just recently moved. So I went through
all the books
that I didn't want. So I had a bit of a clean out. Anyway, books disappeared. And then we were cleaning out the cupboards and she said, you know, if there's anything you need taken to the salvos, just leave it, you know, next to the front door, I'll take it. So there was a bunch of cups that we got rid of as well. Anyway, looking for the bike pump recently because I got back on the bike and it's normally next to the front door. So I rang Christy and said, and she hides stuff. You know, she if there's anything loose anywhere in the house, into a cupboard, bang, bang, bang. So
well,
there's
that's
a bit
called
of like,
putting it away. That's not called hiding.
It's called. It's not called putting it away. It's called hiding it from a man.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, when you've got all your stuff lying out all over the place, you can see it. Yeah. People put it in cupboards. It's called hiding it.
You know how you have people staying on weekends and they help you with the washing up and they just put stuff anywhere?
Randomly.
It takes you a week to recover your house. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So anyway, so I couldn't find it. I played this game of hide and seek, looked in all the cupboards, ring up Christy. I said, Lizzie. And
Oh, no.
Anyway. Just call her Christy.
Yeah. Hi, Christy. Yeah.
Her name's Christy.
Christy.
And I said, where's my bike pump? She goes, took it to the Salvos.
Oh.
I said, what? And she goes, yeah, it was next to the front door. And, I said, well, okay, my mistake. All right. And so I put the phone down. I thought, where's the immunity zone? So I started looking around the house, and all of a sudden I realised that she's just deciding to take stuff to the Salvos or throw it away. And it was like being Unusual Suspects. So I just looked around the house. Oh, the half-dead indoor plant, gone. Rupert's piggy with no ears on it, chewed off, gone.
Front doormat? Because it was just there near the door. It's gone. Your outside thongs.
I'm thinking about putting my mother-in-law next to the front door.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Tuesday night, I was in Sydney for the Fox Cricket launch.
It was big.
97 days worth of cricket. If you watched it ball by ball, you can sit on the couch. I know that's your idea of hell, Robin Bailey.
Yeah, pretty much.
Now, a funny thing happened the following morning. I'm coming out of the hotel. I need to go to Triple M in Sydney, so it's a short cab ride. There's a line of cabs lined up. I always feel a little bit difficult doing this, but anyway, get in the first cab. That time of the morning, the guy's expecting to hear airport, and I said, I'm just going to Triple M on World Square. His shoulders drop.
Oh, what, a less than $10 fare when he was expecting a 40er.
Yeah. So we pull out. He's just nodding in disbelief. Just a furious, furious, angry man. And I would sometimes say, well, you know, that's the luck of the draw, but I thought I'll just leave him. I'm not going to inflame it or even buy into what he's doing. He drops me off. It's almost $10. It's just a bit over $10. And I hand the card over and he goes, forget about it, mate. Just queued for 2 hours. I'll shout you.
Oh, dear. I've never had a cabbie say I'll shout you.
No,
like ever.
But obviously being very cynical about the whole thing or ironic, yeah, I'll shout you. I said, come on, mate, just let me pay. And he goes, nah. And I went, all right. And I just thought, you are just the angriest man.
Oh.
Just the crankiest of all time.
But I don't reckon that's cab drivers. Is that all cab drivers, you reckon?
I think cab drivers are cranky people.
Oh,
if you speak to cab drivers who own their cabs, they are the angriest because of Uber.
You're right.
You know, cab drivers traditionally, they sit there and listen to a lot of radio. They've got a lot of opinions.
Oh, they listen to Alan Jones and stuff. Mm.
Yeah, so the moment you get in, they are just giving you political opinion.
Transfer his advice.
You know what's wrong with this country? I reckon they're one of the crankiest jobs of all time, cab drivers.
Oh.
I would put it up there as maybe the crankiest job in the world.
I reckon cops are the crankiest people around. Crankiest job in the world.
Crack a cop. Like, you have to, like,
It's rare to get a really good cop.
Smile and see where that takes you. Do you know what I mean? Like, you can't, you just have to see
whether
they're.
It's all right for
you. Well, no, but sometimes, some of them are lovely, but, you know, yeah.
All right, what's your crankiest occupation?
I'd say a parking inspector, like people who do the, what do they call them? Parking inspectors.
Parking inspectors.
Are they cranky? I never encounter them.
Oh, mate.
I reckon they're frightened.
Yes.
I don't know whether they're cranky.
Fearful.
They've got their defences up. Their weapons are up because they know they're going to be attacked. So you are dealing with someone who has already got this aura around them of leave me alone. Because
I reckon
fair enough.
That the cab driver would see off the parking inspector any time.
Okay.
Like for crankiness. Mm. Like sitting on that beaded seat cover just in your own.
I'll give you
for 12 hours.
You're selling it, Moon.
I tell you who is cranky on building sites, concreters. They're normally cranky. Or up everyone, because there has to be perfect and you've got to leave their work alone.
Let's put it out there.
What do you reckon is the crankiest job in the world?
Okay, let's find out. Kim of Zilmia. Good morning.
Yeah,
courier drivers. I don't know what it is, whether they're giving away, you know, giving you things that you want and they're not getting anything, or whether they have to get out of their car all the time. I don't know.
Finding a park, I reckon, is the key to their anger.
Oh, I think so. I don't know.
Do you know why they're angry, Kim? Because that thing that you meant to sign never really works. The electronic thing.
Their stylus
just
is
sign
blind.
There, and it's like you're trying to sign it, just like sign it there.
Okay. Great. Thank you, Kim. Yeah. Do you get a lot of courier drivers that you're dealing with? That's how come you know they're so cranky?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, we do. Yeah.
Troy. Troy from North Lakes.
Good morning. How are
What's we? Good, mate. What's the cranky occupation?
Mate, I find the school bus driver. They're never happy. Like, if you don't sit down out the back, don't make me stop this bus, I'll put you off. They're always cranky.
That's great. Maybe every bus driver.
I reckon bus drivers, if you're standing too close to the road, they will try and get you with that mirror. They'll sweep in and try and get you with the mirror.
No, they won't.
They will.
All bus drivers try and kill you with the mirror.
No, they don't.
Oh, dear.
That is not true. I know two bussies and I'm going to defend both of them.
Mark of Carana Downs, what is the crankiest occupation?
Australia Post branch workers, they are the worst. They're just old, miserable, bitter about life.
Yep. Oh, no.
It's a shocking experience. They just want to get you out of the store as quick as possible. And they roll their eyes at you and give you this big sigh.
Hold on. Just the people in a normal post office, the people working behind the counter you're talking about?
Yeah, preferably the older generation. Well, don't work if you're that... You know,
cheese
off about life. Just retire.
The Indooroopilly ladies are lovely, and they know they're big. They're regular customers by name. I'm going to defend them.
Hold on, we name and shame. Mark, which branch are we talking about? No. Are we the GPO?
No, anywhere in general. Like if you go to any general Australia Post outlet in a shopping centre, wherever. It seems to be the older sort of generation that they just don't want to be there. And no. I mean,
is it deathly silent?
Is it deathly silent
in there, Mark? Like, there's no music at all, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes they have a little bit of music, but I think it's just, you know, they see the lineup. I think, oh God, we've got to deal with another one and do another passport photo. And
that's the thing.
My post office.
If you're applying
got
a passport, they lose the will to live.
Hey, we're going to sling your Triple M's Ultimate Aussie Barbecue soundtrack out for Oztober, Mark. We agree with you.
Awesome. Thanks for that, Jeez.
I think some occupations have been unfairly targeted this morning.
I think I'm going to defend anyone
on this. Cabbies, bus drivers, who else have we slagged? What about air traffic
control? There's some angry people out there.
Runway 2!
Big Breakfast on Triple M.
The Big Breakfast with Marto, Robin and the Moon Man. Weekdays from 5:30.